We're going to look at Acts chapter 9, but I want to go back to Isaiah 35. And it's a remarkable set of promises. How the desert, the parched land, the wilderness is going to blossom again like a crocus in bloom. The glory of Lebanon. And you get this, verse 3, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees. Say to those who are fearful, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come to you. And so on. Okay, let me pick up then at verse 5. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy, and water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Chas Kalman took the names of her book from this chapter, and some of you read Streams in the Desert every day. Listen to this then. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs, and in the haunts where jackals once lay, grass, reeds, and papyrus will grow. This is what I want you to pick up. This is an amazing promise. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk, listen to the phrase, in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. So who will be on that way? Only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and they will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. We've made that into a chorus song, but I want you to hold that. Let me just read Acts 9, the first couple of verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired letters to Damascus, that he, if he found any, listen, of this way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. What's in the name? The way. This way. Here's some notices about the coming week. Followers of Jesus earned a nickname, Christ's men, Christians. You know, Acts 11:26 says that at Antioch, they were called Christians. So many people were accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They were rejecting the world practices that were going on around them. And they formed together, little groups. In the process, that's what we call the church, the ecclesia. The Greek word is the people who are called out. You see, they were being called out of the world to follow Jesus' way. And all sorts of titles then would start to describe them. So as you turn the pages of the epistles and what have you, one moment the church is called the Bride of Christ. Others will say, weren't we together like this? We are the body of Christ. Then you get another phrase, we're the building, you see, and we're stones being engrafted in. But here's the big question. How did people who were outsiders describe them? How did folk who knew nothing of the Lord Jesus describe him? How do they describe you and me? Well, here, there's a simple phrase. They say, hey, do you know those people? They're the people of the way. See, that was Paul asking, give me permission to go and get those who are following the way. Demetrius, the silversmith in Ephesus, caused an enormous amount of trouble for Paul. It's Acts 19. He says, at that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. And when Paul was giving his testimony to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, you know what he said? He says it's exactly the same. I persecuted the followers of the way to their death. And when he stood before Felix, given his testimony, Felix, do you know who I worship? I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way. A way. A highway. A way always leads you somewhere. And people who traveled along this way know their destination. And hey, Abraham, what did you have to say? You're living in a tent, you've left the city, you've left the town, you've left what was the metropolis of his time, Ur of the Chaldees. Where are you off to? Oh, I'm on the way. Do you know what I'm looking for? A city whose builder and maker is God. So this is why I read to you from Isaiah 35, because that's the promise of the way. God says there's going to be a way. And it's a concept. First and foremost, a highway will be there and it will be called the way of holiness. It was tough. They really were dreadful days, tough times for Israel. There was the struggle to survive. They were confronted by enemies on every side. They had hostile neighbors, just like now, who were determined, who were bent on wanting to destroy them. And they were facing then, as Israel faces now, this constant threat of attack. The terrorist attack that would create havoc and destruction and despair from seemingly every possible direction that you care to name. And so this was a land that was filled with problems. And it was yet it's filled with hard-working people who with fear and determination try so hard to make the wilderness a productive place to live. And along comes the preacher. Along comes the prophet. Along comes Isaiah. And he says, I've got a word from God for you. God wants to say something to you. And that's Isaiah 35. He starts to talk to them about a time of blessing. Blessing that would come from the hand of God that would transform absolutely everything. The wilderness would be transformed. This amazing prediction, the parched ground will become a pool and the thirsty ground will bubble with springs and so on. And they, you know, imagine them. You know, they could hardly believe what they were hearing. And he goes on. The preacher stands up just like I am and says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Don't be afraid. Your God will come to you. That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Now hold on. He doesn't stop there. Well, this is an amazing prediction. It's a tremendous concept. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on. And he says, there's more. And the highway will be there, which will be called the way of holiness. In effect, he says, I want to talk to you about a way of life. Going in a direction that will change everything. And as you live and embrace this kind of way, holiness will be your lifestyle. So there was the concept first. There's going to be a way for you. Hey, Isaiah, don't stop there. What are the characteristics? Well, he says, it's a special way. It's a very special way. You see, a way, a road in that era was used by everybody, but not a highway. This is talking about a highway. A highway was built for important people. A highway was the special road that was made for and used solely and only by the king. And those special roads, those highways, were built by the ruler's command. They were reserved for the royal chariots to go down. It was their own M1, M6, M25. It was special. The rest of you can take the North Circular. Now listen to me. Isaiah says, God is going to create a special highway that will be open to all travelers. And you know, when I was writing these, I was in another country actually, and I began to sing to myself, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you may go in. Come on. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. How? When you come, come on, as a sinner to Jesus. And I knew God's making a special highway for sinners to travel. And it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean will not journey. So it's not just a special way, it's a saintly way. The way God, as a builder, has a plan that there will come along a road, and in a way that no one else could ever make possible. And Jesus would come, and he would be the Savior, and his precious blood, the testimony is here, would cleanse us from every sin and every defilement when we get on this way. And then, and the unclean shall not pass over. So not only is it special, and I put the word saintly, holy, but it was separated. It means some folk, because of the way they live and what they do, can't get on this highway. The unclean shall not pass over. In other words, hey, if you are here, you've got to make a choice. You have to determine if you prefer to do your own thing. If you want to ignore the regulations that God is making, then this way is not for you. And there are always two ways of living. Jesus talked at times about those who were not for him would be against him. He talked of narrow gates and broad. He talked of narrow ways and broad ways. Always, always, always. And you determine which road, which way you travel. The unclean will not pass over. They won't travel. There's thousands of men and women who will never travel. You'll rub shoulders with them this week. You've rubbed shoulders with them this last week. They don't want to know anything about God's way. Then they will never travel on this highway. And it will be for those who walk in the way. It's very simple. This is not for kings, priests. This is not for pastors, teachers, rulers. No, 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 no. Ordinary men and women are permitted to go down this way. So no matter your background, no matter your circumstance, no matter your age, no matter where you've been and what you've done, no matter what the kind of situation you've been in, you can come on this way. Because God is concerned about your heart. He has no social distinction whatsoever, and so we pick up with the songwriter, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O God, I come. And yet it's a safe way. No ferocious beast, no lion. See, lions were considered to be the most ravenous, the most ferocious of all animals. And if you saw a lion on the road when you were traveling, everyone knew that the presence of the lion threatened travelers with death. Grasp the truth behind this. Grasp the truth behind this. Your enemy, the devil, goes about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking to destroy. But you are protected. When you're on God's way of living, you are protected in the most phenomenal and amazing way. I don't have an answer to tell you how he'll do it for every one of us, but he does. Because you're on the way, and Satan will come. He cannot destroy you. He cannot. You're on the way. It's a safe way. But here's the best bit. I tell you what it's all about. It's the salvation way, because the redeemed walk there. Now, the people of that time knew all about redemption. It was an experience they knew because of being sold into slavery and then set free when a redemption price is paid. So they knew all about that. This would just grab their hearts and their minds and their attention. Yes, yes, if that's God's way, I understand. And then I read on. Jesus left heaven's glory. Listen to it from Ephesians 1:17. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. What's that mean? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And what next? It's a singing way. And the ransomed the redeemed, the protected ones, the ones who've made the choice to walk on God's highway, will enter Zion, how? With singing. The forgiveness of sin is the prelude to the song of praise. It really is almost a glimpse of what was afforded to John on Patmos. You know, when he's there in the gulag, the black rock, he's sitting on it on a Sunday morning, and in the spirit is conveyed, and he said, I see heaven opened. And it's a, you have to read the book of Revelation to see that. He sees the throne, but he sees much more than that. He hears and sees heaven filled with choirs singing, what? The song of Moses and the Lamb. And this was his destination, of the highway. And that's where we're going. Because you know Jesus, that's the place. And you will sing there. If you don't sing here, think, oh, I don't like the hymns that Dave has chosen or Andrew has chosen. No, don't worry about that. That's your choice. But you're going to sing there. And here is just an exercise in getting tuned. And we have a responsibility as leaders to make sure the songs are such that you can sing them. And in singing them in such a way, you are participating in this amazing promise, its concept and its characteristics, the highway that leads to heaven. But is that it? No, that's not it. Because there was the promise, and you turn the pages of your Bible, you go through all the dark times of the 400 years of the Maccabees and so on, and you get to the Gospels. And when you thumb one by one the pages of the Gospel, you see the person. And he stands. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see Jesus, John 14. It's so explicit. In that incident, when he states that, the disciples were confused. Nothing was making sense. Like with Isaiah, nothing was making sense there. And now here are the disciples in their contemporary era. Nothing is making sense. I don't know whether while they're standing here, did the stirring of their memories think of the time when it seemed like hundreds were deserting him. And they watched the huge crowds that came just dwindle away. And did they remember how Jesus interrupted the way they were thinking? He said, do you want to go as well? And they weighed things up. And there's a stunned silence. And Peter settles things for himself and for all of them. Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of life. You've got the way. And so they followed him, no matter what, no matter where. And they thought, they really did think, they anticipated Jesus was destined for a kingdom in which he would be King of Kings. Now that's true. And now he's talking about, don't have a troubled heart. What are you talking about? In my Father's house are many mansions. Who's building them? Who's making them? What are you on about, Jesus? Okay, I tell you what. We acknowledge you are going to be the master builder. But where? Where's this kingdom? Where are these mansions? Where? Now, to them, owning a home would have been very attractive. But how would they get there? And if they understood correctly, it wasn't going to be there in Jerusalem. It wasn't going to be there where they lived now. It wasn't going to be even down here on this earth. It would be in some kind of heavenly location. Well, that's an enormous problem. How will we get there? And it's Thomas. Good old Thomas blurts it out. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, through me. I am the way. And I think Jesus is remembering those amazing words back there in Isaiah. It's so explicit. I am the way. And it's the way all men must find. All men. He is the only way. No man comes to the Father except through me. And it's the open way that all men must take if they're going to approach the Father. Damaged families. We're dealing with one this week. A broken society. It will only be rebuilt and restored through the transformation that only Jesus can bring about. It will not be with government policies and so on. It will not be by pumping more finance into varying scenarios. It's the message of the cross. It's that act of sacrificial love. It's Jesus giving his life to deal with the sin problem once and for all. And it sorts out the way back to God. And it will be open. You may not be able to understand or grasp everything there is about God. But you must be certain of this. Jesus is the only way. I watched a program on the Janus this week. I've met them in India and the Hindus, abasing themselves in the most dreadful manner, walking barefoot in case they crushed an insect on the ground because they're animists. Men walking naked because they think that clothes mean you've killed something in order to make them. Accepting vows of poverty so you rely on somebody to give you food to eat. In the hotel that I take in Delhi, I'm watching them come by with enormous loads on their back, the Hindus, the purple saffron robes, yes, the orange robes, and old men stumbling because they're trying to find the way. But there is no room for debate. There is no room for argument. It is very explicit. The promise is met in a person. Jesus says, I am the way. But yet it is exciting. It really is exciting. All those characteristics of Isaiah's promise are now possibilities that I can experience. As I follow Jesus, it becomes a journey of immense discovery. Because he is the way through today. He's the way through this month. He's the way through this year. He's the way through life as I live it, step by step. I had a dreadful day on Wednesday. But here's the way through it. I made it. I made it. I made it. Oh, I sang lots of songs. And most of all, about peace like a river flooding my heart and my soul. So there was no fears. Oh, here's the way. Through days like that. And you know them. You know them. And here's the way. Here's the way through those many troubles we find ourselves in. And if we don't get through all of those difficulties, those life difficulties, you need Jesus. Listen to me. He is the way through every church situation. Whatever it is we got to work out over these coming months, he's the way. He is the way to purposeful living. I'm not talking about just knowing him as Savior, but the reality of following and doing his will. He is the way to a spirit-empowered ministry and lifestyle, because he's the giver of the Spirit. He's the way to a prayer life. How do I say that? Because every time I pray, I am going to pray in the name of Jesus and expect God to hear me and to answer me in whatever way he pleases. Whether he says yes, whether he says no, whether he tells me to wait. But I'm praying in the name of Jesus because he's the way. Now, what does he do for you when you're on the way? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare. What? Listen, Lord, I'm listening, listening. I go to prepare a place for you. For me? For me? Yes. So I got this sense of security. There isn't just this life, but there's something more. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, what will you do then? And receive you to myself. Oh, that will satisfy me. And Lord, I came to church this morning. And I've seen the white cloths. And I know underneath the white cloths are bread and wine. And do you know what I hear Pastor Dave say? Words that you have given him. This is my body, which is broken for you. And I realize how great the sacrifice is. No wonder then the members of the early church were called followers of the way. Because Jesus is their Savior, he's their Lord, he's their companion, he's their guide. Hey, what's that? I believe Hebrews was written by Paul. And Paul just stood up and said something. He talked about a new and living way, Hebrews 10:19. And he concludes it like this in verse 22. Draw near with a sincere, with a true heart to that way. See, it's all about a lifestyle. It's about putting into practice the things we are reading and learning. It's intensely personal. And yet it makes it the most powerful experience. We got all sorts of name tags. I like the one we got, congregational. But down the road are the Baptists. And just over the road are the Methodists. And if you go to the golf course, there are the Anglicans. Go up the Ashington Road, and the first ones you'll meet are the Catholic. And then get up to the top, and Dave Redmond will be there, the Pentecostals. They're the name tags. That's all they are, the name tags. It's only relevant when we become followers of the way. On the Emmaus Road, the man and his wife were walking in despair. I think they would have long moments of silence. They were talking to each other, but there were moments when they didn't know what to say. To them, Jesus was dead. Their hopes had been destroyed. In total despair. I've learned something. Every one of us walks down an Emmaus Road. Maybe that's where you're walking today. But you know what today's message said? But suddenly, Jesus came. I better read it in the NIV. Jesus himself came and walked with them. I like the today's message. Suddenly, Jesus came. They didn't know it was him. They actually thought it was a stranger. But you know, in the early morning, Mary thought he was a gardener, but suddenly Jesus came. On the Sea of Galilee, the disciples thought he was a ghost. They think they were drowning, but suddenly Jesus came. Keep your eyes open and your hearts. Suddenly, Jesus comes. It's him. It's his voice. And he's here. And in a moment like this, you can reach out and touch him. And he'll deal with whatever it is that needs to be dealt with in your heart and your life and make you whole. How will you know it's him? How did they know, those two folk on the Emmaus Road? Something happened in their hearts. The burning heart. Oh, you'll know it's him, all right. Because there is no voice like his voice, and no touch like his, and no peace like his, and no blessing like his. And you know, did you hear him this morning? Suddenly Jesus has come. See, the concept, characteristics of the promise were amazing, but the promise needed the person. And suddenly, Jesus came. Listen. Listen out to what he's saying to you. Let him touch your heart in the way that you need most. Let him so bless your life that when you walk out of those doors at the close, there'll be a lightness about your step, there'll be a spring, there'll be a joy, there'll be a fervency, there'll be something that's made you different. And people say, hey, did you see that one? They come out of the name tag, they come out of the congregational church, but they are followers of the way.